What was it? It was almost like giving
Finding cutter.
the cutter.
Yeah.
And it seemed like there was some flakiness that was kept.
There was.
Well, at least it got done. It got done. Because I know Fernando was kind of under the gun on that. He's like, it's getting done. That's funny. Yeah. No, he enjoyed it. I think John's on the one. He likes that piece of property. So.
Yeah.
I do too. I mean, it really is, I think, just a nice little piece. Because he couldn't do really much with it. And it's like, well, that's great.
Yep.
So, No, he said that he saw you this morning. I'm glad that it went well. I think everybody's glad that you found the guy to do it too.
Oh, would you put up?
Excuse me?
You put up.
Yeah.
So, Bob, what are you watching now that basketball's over with? I mean, that's kind of hard to be like, what do you do after that?
Well, the follow through, you know, with the players declaring for the draft and stuff like that. But now I move on to Yankees baseball.
Oh, okay. Okay. But they just walked through that tournament. I mean, it was pretty unbelievable.
Margin of victory was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I didn't think it was really a surprise.
Uh-huh.
I
was planning on going from, you know, the first week of the season.
I'm going to call
when they beat then ranked Alabama.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is 7:15. So I'm calling our Board of Finance for the town of Bolton to order. It's about 7:15. And we have, it looks like everybody is here except Charlie. You know, it's because Ashley's online. We have Mather, Bob, Amanda, and then Ashley's online and Kristen. And me, so I think we have a quorum, just missing Mr. Dana. So we will get.
I can't make it in person.
No, that's all right.
Recovering from the stomach bug.
Oh.
Yep, family finally got me.
So then let's go on to public participation, and I'm going to look to see if there is anybody from the public who has anything to say. There is nobody in the room here at the town hall from the public, but I don't know if there's anybody online who wishes to speak.
Ross, it's Jill. Alexis and Harry are from Chelsea Grattan, so they're on the agenda and they'll speak. When we get,
you know, I saw them sort of shaking their heads when I said public comments. So I figured they were the people I did not know. I was guessing they might be Chelsea Grattan.
They are. So they're on the agenda. So they'll talk next.
Yep. So I have no public participation. So then why don't we continue on with the Chelsea Grattan bank representatives and discussion on interest rates and all that other good stuff.
So I guess, Mr. Monroe, you might want to share your feelings with Chelsea Grattan and your questions that you have asked me in the past so that they can help for you to better understand where they're coming from.
Just as a note, Charlie, Dana just walked in to join us and it's about 7:18.
Shirley, I have, as you noticed, I have for years monitored the amount of interest income the town gets quite specifically and consistently over the years. This year, after having, last year, not having received the kind of interest monies that I thought we were going to get, and we had a shortfall. In that category as a consequence. And this year, obviously, I've been still watching it very closely. I'm concerned that we don't appear to be participating at all in the interest income that you guys, in my opinion, are surely advantaged by. I know that after Jill had at least one conversation with you guys, you know, we had $5,000 show up and we were told that we were going to get one half of 1%, which I find to be not indicative of a partnership between a bank and a substantial partner that you have in the town of Bolton. We are appreciative of the fact that you guys do yeoman's work as far as taking care of the nuts and bolts of our checking and accounts. But I remain concerned that we are being treated as less than a partner. I guess my angst was only exacerbated today, reading in the last week or so, reading the headlines of you know, banks really coming in with significant increases in income directly related to interest income available to them as a consequence of the actions by the Federal Reserve. So I'd like to know what kind of relationship this is, quite frankly. I know that you guys were in the right track when you asked for some level of participation in that interest to offset your costs. But I am concerned that we are not being treated as a partner here at all.
So I can jump in. This is Alexis Khan from the cash management sales team. Can you see me okay? I know.
Yes, we can see both you and Mr. Colonis as well.
Okay, perfect. I just weren't sure if we were audible and visible. So just as sort of we revisited, I'll start in kind of several different pieces and feel free, Harry, to jump in, but I can address subsequently any specific questions you have. But in terms of the overall balances, we do have it segmented such that there's a portion of it that is designated with a target balance such that you are able to absorb. We set it very specifically so that you're able to absorb the cost of all of the services that the town employs with Chelsea Groton. So that's through an earnings credit that is applied off of those balances so that you're not, you know, being assessed fees, but rather able to absorb those. And, you know, the town really takes advantage of all the services that we offer in terms of really being able to provide a robust offering from, you know, both in the number of accounts that you have. We have a bunch of different account types, such as zero balance accounts, positive pay services, remote deposit capture, ACH origination, wire origination, lockbox, except armored car, et cetera. So that's really the checking account balance is really designed to offset all of those charges for things. I think when we did the RFP originally, and analyzing against, you know, our predecessor really designed, you know, and indicated that the fact that our fees were, you know, kind of on a per assessed charge basis, we were a lot lower, and also the ability to kind of set it up so that it was, you weren't kind of assessed any fees on a net basis.
Might I just interrupt for a second? Because I think I'd just kind of like to cut to the chase with what Bob was getting. What is our current interest rate that you are paying to us?
Sure. So in the linked sweep account, you have a municipal investment sweep, and we actually have increased that. So I think the 50 basis points that you had referred, or the 0.50%, that's been doubled to 1%. So on what you're earning in that municipal investment sweep account is at 1%. So it's been increased from what I think you referenced, the 0.50%.
Okay, because I think we're looking at some of our personal savings, for example, and I know this is a different world. So if I go look at my money market account that I have with Fidelity, the daily 7-day APR on it, something like 4.6% or so, 4.8% or so. And we're able to get CDs up, you know, 1 year up to 5.25%. And I can also look around and get shorter term you know, CDs that are, you know, 3.5-4% or so. So I guess that's the question that we're trying to understand here is when we look and see what we can get for our own personal accounts and we see what the, you know, various funds rates and so forth are, you know, when we look on, you know, online, you know, what is the, why is the amount that we're getting so much lower? Because, you know, I appreciate the fact that you doubled it to 1%, but by the same token, that's like a fourth or a fifth of, you know, what we see elsewhere. So if you could explain, you know, just, you know, I think that's what we really want to just cut to the chase and understand why, you know, we don't get the same, you know, something similar.
Sure.
At the same time, you could answer this question. When was that effective?
I think it went into effect just recently, like several days ago or something like that. I think it was mid-month.
Getting prepared for this meeting.
Just so you understand, I have not talked to Harry nor Alexis, so I had no idea. I've been out sick, as you all know, so I didn't even know. This is a surprise to me, so I couldn't even share it with the board because I did not know.
Yeah, and we just had the cash management operations team had just done that as an adjustment, just as I said, this week.
All right, so Bob, did you have anything else, or is it Kristen?
I've got a question.
Oh, yeah.
So for our budgeting purposes, because this is where we really got thrown into a little bit of a tailspin. You know, you had mentioned, and just looking really at the hard math, the cost of the goods and services. One, could you tell us what that would equate to as far as an actual dollar amount, and how that, looking at the dollar amount for that 0.5%, because when we do the math, it really wasn't that difficult to discover what 0.5% is. But when you start talking about the services, which is fine, we just want to know, you know, again, for our budgeting purposes, how much is that costing us, the services? I mean, I'm glad we have them, but we do need to know the numbers for our budgeting.
Oh, so are you saying what you outright pay or what you would be paying if you didn't get the offset?
What we would be receiving in interest before paying out the services, and then what we are getting after the services. I would like to know what that amount equates to, because that's what you, I mean, again, when you look at just 0.5% and looking at our rough numbers of what we have in the bank, it shouldn't have been that difficult to come out with the number that we were expecting to receive from the interest. Now, if we're paying other services and stuff, that's understandable. But what is that number? What is that number that we're actually paying out? Even if it's an estimate, again, just so that we can have an idea when we're doing our budgeting. Because we ended up with a deficit that we weren't expecting in the area of interest.
So you're saying if we were to pay interest on the balances that are currently offsetting fees, if we were mm-hmm. paying interest on that instead of using it towards offsetting fees, what would that represent in terms of a annual interest payment?
Yes.
So off of the 7 million, for example, if we're paying, yep. You're saying the 7 million, which is the target balance to offset fees.
Right. And you know, the 0.5% and then minus the fees. That's what I want to know, those numbers.
I will do a quick calculation. Just bear with me for a moment. Harry, I don't know if you want to add anything while I'm just doing some
work. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that the comment earlier was made, you know, seeing what the personal rates are doing on CDs and money markets and things like that. Of course, it's a little different when you look at commercial rates and money market accounts and things like that. But what we did when we did the RFP was to determine, you know, okay, let's look at all the services the town, you know, requires and requested and propose a way to offset, you know, all the activity fees and also provide a little bit of interest income as well. And that's what we did with the RFP. And the interest rates, the earnings credit all collectively went to make the banking relationship as cost effective as possible. And now with a rising interest rate environment, I understand you've seen these rates on the CDs, the money market accounts, especially brokerage CDs. You know, that's a little bit different than what a community bank can offer. And as far as the partnership goes, we are a community bank and we invest heavily in the local community in a variety of ways. And I understand you guys are more concerned about the interest rate, and that's great. You should. That's what a board does. And you want to maximize the rate of return for the town's deposits. Our job is to meet with you, collect the feedback, and go back to our superiors and have that conversation. Because without feedback, we don't know what's broken or what's working or what's not. And good or bad, it's always good to have feedback, and we can bring it back to our senior group and let them know what your thoughts are and come back to you with the counter. And that's what our job is to do. Originally, when we all met, I mean, this was a great situation, a great relationship. We want to maintain that. So we're going to do everything we can to preserve that.
So I guess I would also ask again, this is, you know, Ross Lally, the chair, is what are the differences, just to edify us and get it out on the record, between a commercial account like this and, you know, say a personal account where we would be getting more money? Because I know with my personal account, it's FDIC insured up to $250,000. And whereas with this, we've given you a far bigger chunk of change. And, you know, I believe that that is also fully insured. So is that, or am I correct or no?
It's not fully FDIC insured. It's up to $250,000 is FDIC insured. If FDIC insurance is a concern, we can certainly address that and propose an option for that as well.
Okay, because we were under the assumption that there was some additional insurance to cover us for, you know, loss of the principal. But it sounds like we're not, because we're just trying to understand what are the other expenses. What is it that is in your overhead that's different for this account that cuts it such a low interest rate?
So I'll just mention with other municipalities that we work with, I don't know if, and I can make sure that you receive this if you're not receiving it already, the public depository qualification form, because a lot of the other municipalities we have kind of go off of that, being able to do their own analysis of where we stand from a capitalization standpoint, because we do need to collateralize some of our, a portion of our deposits in order to hold municipal funds. And so it's kind of treated a little bit differently for municipal deposits, certainly, than it is for regular kind of personal account deposits. This FDIC insurance tends to come up a little bit less with municipalities than it does with, let's say, a personal account holder, given the fact that the balances are significant, because of the fact that there's the ability to kind of look into, you know, where we stand in terms of the collateralization of our municipal deposits and what our overall, you know, kind of health and wellness and strength and stability as a bank. So our municipalities don't necessarily tend to look at the FDIC insurance as much as they do analyzing that public depository qualification form. So if, you know, I don't, as I said, I can make sure that you're receiving it if you're not, but that's, as Harry mentioned, we can certainly, if FDIC insurance is a concern, we do have some products that do.
The insurance itself wasn't a concern so much as I just want to know, like, again, you know, what's the difference in your overhead and your approach that, you know, basically eats up what we see as like 3 or 4% interest? Because you're giving us 1%. And as I said,
0.5% until today.
Yeah, 0.5%. Well, let's go with today. They gave us 1%. But, you know, another 0.5%. But I'm just saying that still is substantially lower. And that's what I'm trying to get at is, What is eating that other 3% up that, you know, is in a municipal account like this? It's not really, You know, and I guess, you know, that is a question too, is like, you know, we've seen some banks recently having some trouble and they were smaller to mid-sized banks. So I think we do need to look at what their capitalization is and, you know, how, you know, that type of issue too. But again, I just wanted, it seems like we're just having trouble getting in simple English, what is the, where's that 3%, 4% going? What is difference in how you manage this account that would eat up that money?
Sure. So I'll just mention, we as a bank, and sort of you alluded to the fact that other banks have had trouble. We've been historically very conservative, just kind of as an overall banking institution. I mean, we've been around since 1854. As a mutual community bank, we really are only, our only purpose is to serve our community and our depositors and our you know, customers in general, because we have no shareholders. So nobody is making any money off the fact that we exist as a financial institution. And as a result, we have never been the bank who is going to advertise the highest rates, because we see as a longer term health and strength of the bank that we need to make sure that we remain sort of, you know, stable and steady and not paying up exorbitant, you know, like you might see those CDs that you referenced that are a lot higher, because then that would potentially disrupt, you know, if we had a situation in which, you know, we would be underwater basically in terms of where deposits are and where loans are. And so we've kind of always had that interest rate dynamic where we're never going to be the highest on sort of the banking spectrum in terms of rate. That's where Harry kind of alluded to the fact that it's much more a relationship-based kind of situation in which, to your point, like we kind of can certainly assess where things stand and, you know, hear what you're saying, go back to the table and kind of communicate this back to the management team about the, your frustrations regarding the interest rate. But it's not something that we're out there ever advertising high rates, just based on the fact that that's kind of our model and our ability to be not at all in a situation like some of the banks that have had some struggles recently in which they were doing things that might have been profitable, but that doesn't allow them to stick around and be, you know, able to serve its customers for 150 odd years.
Would CDs be something, right, you know, the town would be interested in, as well as the FDIC insurance, so we can kind of, you know, propose something with our senior team?
I don't think we're interested in the CDs so much or the FDIC insurance. I'm just at, that was just part of an example of where we can get more interest, you know, on our, you know, as private citizens. And I just, you know, I guess what I'm struggling with is I'm just trying to understand very simply, like, commercial bank does this, you know, with us, you know, with our, you know, with our account with the town. What's the difference between, you know, a my bank where I go and get my money with a much higher interest rate, and there's some other overhead or some difference in approach that sucks up 3% or so of the interest? I think that's what we're just trying to get to, and it doesn't sound like it's an easy thing for you guys to say.
I wouldn't say. Sorry. Go ahead, Harry.
No, it's okay. Even on the consumer side, our rates are very conservative. So you won't see a drastic difference between what we pay in a money market account on the consumer side or on the business side. So I don't think you're going to find the silver bullet between commercial, you know, rates and or consumer rates. We're typically pretty conservative as a bank. We're able to provide all the products and services to support our business customers. And we try to, you know, create a profile, if you will, a structure to make the banking for the town or for the customer as cost-effective as possible. And of course, focus on the service and the relationship. But if rates are what you're looking for, you know, we'll have to go back, you know, to our team, our senior management team, in order to, you know, see what we can come up with as a counter for you.
Kristen, you had a question.
Yeah, we are coming at you from two different directions, because we're talking about the interest rate that we would like to have that would be more reflective and, you know, understanding that and your business strategy, which I understand. I'm still looking at the interest rate we have now. And if we look at it again, going back to that original question that I had of $7 million, that should be $35,000, 0.5%. That return on investment we did not receive. And, you know, you had mentioned as answering their question about the interest rate we don't have about providing services, but it seems like those services cut into the current rate of return from that 35,000. Because I think we're only at what, 12,000 right now? We might be getting 15,000. Yeah. You know, total. So what happened to that other 20,000 is for our immediate needs right now is one concern that I have at the moment. Can you answer that?
So if you're, you know, when we first did the RFP, it made a lot of sense to structure it so that you were not paying any net fees. If you'd kind of prefer that we go back to the drawing board and you see some fees, but more is swept, you know, instead of, we do this all the time where we adjust the target balance so that we could have more sweeping into that municipal investment sweep account. And, you know, we can revisit the rate on that. And then you lower the target balance on that kind of main checking accounts so that you're paying fees in terms of it, they would be assessed and you would see them come through, but you would be, you know, kind of earning, you would be getting more of those balances in an interest bearing account. Cause we can't pay any interest just on the checking account type, like a checking account can't earn interest. So just the way it's structured currently, that's why it's just offsetting fees instead of earning interest. But we can revisit certainly if you'd like us to take a look at that and come back to you with a proposal on taking down that target balance so that you would see net fees charged, but more would be swept into that municipal investment sweep account.
Well, I'm confused. I'm sorry, not to interrupt. I'm confused because I thought our target balance was 7 million, right? To keep it at 7 million and we get a return on investment. So I didn't think that we fell below that mark, correct? I mean, you know, correct
me
if I'm wrong.
We absolutely do fall below that mark. We'll be below that soon.
Okay.
Yep. All right. We will be below that. We will start the year quite a bit below that. And that's that we received charges and fee charges the beginning of last year. And the longer it takes for us to get a budget so that we're getting money in again, the less money we have. But we definitely were below that 7 million last year.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. That helps me out a lot because I was trying to figure out where we were losing that $20,000. And that makes more sense to me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Amanda, you had a question.
Yeah, I was just going to say it. You know, I was on my laptop pulling up your consumer savings rates just to see what they were. So I do see that they're not as high as they might otherwise be at some of the other banks we were talking about. The other thing is, it would be helpful, I think, to see what the cost of those fees would be if we weren't offsetting, so that we can weigh the cost of those fees against what we're losing in interest. Because we have this model.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's exactly my thought.
When you look at what they have online, that's for personal, but that doesn't, that's not for municipalities, and we're not going to get the same fees same services that an individual gets as a municipality, because we require more insurance. We require this. There's a state statute that says our money has to be insured. So we cost banks more money. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get the services that an individual is going to get. We're not going to get the rates that an individual gets, because we cost banks more money as a municipality.
Yeah, that's the thing still. That's that sort of where we have to put deposits aside to collateralize municipal deposits. Yeah, exactly. But we can certainly go back and, you know, this was more intended from our perspective to hear your concerns and have you vocalize them. And then we can go back to the drawing board and kind of give you a couple different options in terms of what it would look like if you, you know, didn't have that target balance, what the fees would look like, what it would look like if, you know, we can kind of get you more, if we're able to kind of optimize some of that interest on, you know, hearing your concerns and see where we can land on the municipal investment sweep side.
Jill, how low does the balance go when it's not hitting a seven? And we can do a scenario based on that as well. Use that as one of the examples.
I'm not sure where we were last year, but it all depends on how far we go before we have a budget. And so last year it was the middle of July, so which means we didn't get our money in until into September, which means we're going without from July 1st until we're getting most of our tax deposits. And thank goodness we're one-time tax, you know, once a year collection. So, but it was a couple months that we were charged fees because we didn't have the balance of over 7 million. And
we can definitely look at July. Right,
we're about 10 right now and still have two and a half months to go. So we could fall below that seven shortly.
We're also thinking we're going to probably be in the same situation this year.
Could I ask a question for Jill and also just some feedback for Chelsea Bank? Again, when we have our discussions, Jill, we always talk about what it costs us to go per referendum, and that cost of what is it, $4,500?
$4,500.
The reality is that it costs us much more because of the interest that we are losing. So us, I'm correct on that.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay,
correct.
So that's got to be more part of our
the interest we're losing and the fees that we then pay.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a combination of the two. One's a loss and one's an additional fee.
Right. And then also just for you guys, and first off, thank you very much for coming out. I know our questions aren't easy, but it does help us understand the process and how we're getting our interest and that return on investment for us. What I would say is just keep in mind with a small town like us, I mean, it's like every dollar counts. Sure. So, you know, continually to, you know, just revisiting it. And I understand having the lower amount and not as far as, you know, the interest rate and not having the shareholders. I totally understand that. I support small businesses. So I understand your business model, but it's just probably more on the education as far as board members goes, as far as how that whole process works, because this has been very helpful for us. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Happy to meet with you guys anytime. And we appreciate the feedback and the opportunity to go back and make the relationship better and address your concerns. And we'll do a couple of scenarios for you and come back and present them to you however way you like, whether it's on Zoom or email or in person, whatever's more comfortable.
Thank you. Bob, you had a question.
Yeah, thank you. Alexis and Harry, thanks for both appearing tonight. And thank you both, especially for what I understand to be a commitment to go back and have a look at this.
Yeah.
I think the simplest way for everybody to view this is to forget the $7 million, okay? Which is, we're just saying, you guys are saying we accepted that $7 million, whatever interest you guys can collect on that $7 million, that's going to be used to offset your costs or whatever and affect your bottom line. However, I've been around this board for a long time. And at times I remember, you know, we were getting interest of like $300,000. This was not that long ago. Now, in this situation, the interest rate, as Ross indicated, we've been watching it go up and up and up. The services that you have been provided, to my knowledge, have not changed dramatically. However, the amount of revenue that you are reaping, regardless of what type of investment vehicles you guys are using, has gone up dramatically. And this $12,000 that we're sitting with in interest is an embarrassment. So I appreciate the fact that you're saying that you will go back and take a look at this, because it deserves to be looked at. Look at the entire amount of money. Forget the $7 million. Look at the entire amount of money that we deposit through your bank on an annual basis. you don't handle each one of these things as a little tiny individual account as far as when you're putting money out for to acquire interest from it. It's all your accounts. So for us to be getting $12,000 is just absurd, in my opinion. And of course, I do voice it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So again, you know, I also want to just, you know, thank both Alexis and, you know, Harry for their time as well. So we would definitely appreciate your coming back with some scenarios based on what you've, you know, heard from us. And if you have any questions, you can certainly run them through, you know, Jill. And we can, you know, bounce that back and forth before you show up the next time.
Sure. And we definitely appreciate the, you know, the relationship, and we recognize you're a major customer of ours. You know, there's no sort of discounting the fact that you keep a lot on balance with us, and we greatly are, you know, very appreciative of that. I will say, not to get too much into the weeds on a kind of geeky banking basis, but if you look at sort of our, you know, as a community bank, again, somebody who exists not to, you know, we're not out there doing giant commercial deals with big corporations. We're really, you know, a local lender in the community. That's our bread and butter, is really, you know, giving people the possibility to own homes in Connecticut. When you think about our balance sheet, there were so many years that interest rates were so low, and we're still sitting on a lot of assets of a residential mortgage environment that was, you know, you probably, hopefully, if you have a mortgage, you hopefully were able to refinance for something very favorable. That's kind of, you know, who we are as an institution. We do commercial lending, but a lot of that is, you know, real estate as well. And again, kind of in the local community. And when you think about how quickly rates have shifted and how exponentially they've risen, and on the deposit side, you know, all of a sudden now there's this, you know, race kind of to the top. We're still sitting on assets that are paying very little. So it's not, I know, and you know, again, we have to get there. And I understand that for you particularly as a relationship, we really need to, you know, make you happy and get you what you're needing. But I just wanted to kind of contextualize, because it's not like Chelsea Grant is sitting there saying, you know, we're all of a sudden making all of this money, because we haven't been able to, you know, especially in today's kind of mortgage market where there's such slow and there's no inventory, we haven't really been able to capitalize on the increase of the rates. And, you know, again, from this point about our stability, we're not doing anything that's going to jeopardize our ability to be here in the long term and for us to be a very stable and safe bank to.
And nor are we asking you to change that philosophy. But what we are looking for is something that's fair.
Yep.
And this.
Why don't we wrap this up? Because we're just starting to repeat what we said earlier, and we've got a bunch of other stuff on the agenda. So Mather, I don't know if you had anything. No. You've been quiet, Charlie.
As long as I can understand what the fees are, the cost of the fees that we're paying compared to what it might have been if we had interest in lieu of fees, then I'd feel more comfortable.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the scenarios that you folks are going to bring back to us. So again, I want to thank you, and I want to move on to another, you know, some other stuff on the agenda. So I do appreciate your coming here. And as I said, work with Jill, and she will set up when it's, you know, time for us to get together again.
Thank you all for the time and the opportunity. We can tell you're very passionate about what you do, and as a board, you have to be. And you care about your town, and you want, you know, have the best possible scenario. And we get it. Alexis and I get it, and we'll do our best to get you there. We work hard to get the RFP, and hopefully, you know, when we did win the RFP, it was a better situation for you at that time, and we want to continue that. So we look forward to working with you guys again and seeing you soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So then let's go move on to our next thing, approval of minutes. And the last time we had some folks wanted to abstain. So I don't know if anybody's going to abstain, because I was going to say if we had anybody who thought they would abstain, then I would do minute by, you know, March 31st and April, you know, 6th next, or we could do them all at once. So why don't we just do them by the meeting? So let's do March 30. Could I entertain a motion to approve those as is, and then we can discuss?
Motion to approve.
So Bob made the motion, Charlie seconded it. Any discussion on March 30th minutes? Do you have a question, Amanda? You can. Oh, it's me. I just had my. Oh, just move the cursor off people's face there. Because I didn't have any questions, comments. Charlie Mather. Charlotte, on April 30, and you okay? You're still looking. All right, so I have no corrections to the March 30, 2023 special meeting minutes. So I will just do a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? So it passed unanimously by all those present. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the April 6th meeting minutes as is, special meeting minutes as is.
Second.
So a motion made by Bob, seconded by Kristen. Discussion.
I just had a question, and this is me not understanding how the notes were taken, but in order to withdraw a motion, do you first have to make the motion in the notes, or can you just withdraw it?
There should have been a motion made. So let's go through that and look. Yes. Well, it's one page both sides.
Okay.
So we did have a motion made.
Yeah.
So under 4,
let's go look.
A, there's no motion. Then
I know, Kristen, you made the motion to transfer the numbers from as is. We discussed it and then we changed them. So then you withdrew the motion. So yeah. There was an initial motion to transfer the numbers from 23 to 24 as is. And then we discussed it and decided we didn't want to do that. So we do need to have a motion to do that. I know, Kristen, you made the motion. I have no idea at this point who seconded it.
Recording somewhere.
It's in the recording.
I'm not sure of that.
Actually, it did.
It did.
The motion?
Yep, Kristen made the motion, and I'm just trying to remember who seconded it, because she withdrew it when we had the discussion.
Hi. I feel like something's missing more, because it goes from 4A, and then there's no 4B. I don't know if I forgot to put 4B, or if there's a whole page missing, or...
That's a good question. Yeah, because I know, you're right, because there's a bit more discussion, because...
Did I Jill miss part of the meeting minutes? No, it may, maybe.
Yeah, because you presented the numbers.
No, those because four there's five. Well, let me look online quick. 1 second.
Yeah, because that's a good catch, Amanda. Because it should be a there may be a B that's missing.
You know, I'll throw out a proposal just because, you know, to keep the meeting moving. And we've done this in the past, park the minutes and then revisit it at a later meeting afterwards. Since it does appear that there could possibly be, you know, some dialogue missing.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to say waste time with it tonight because we have to do some research that would be better done elsewhere. So if you would withdraw your motion, since we did know.
I withdraw.
Kristen withdraws her motion, and then we will table this discussion of the minutes of.
Yes, he did.
Oh, Bob made the motion. Yeah. And you seconded it.
I seconded it.
So then, Bob, you want to withdraw it, and we'll just do the, we'll move it to next week.
Yeah, withdraw the motion.
So then let's just we'll table these and discuss them at our next meeting. And hopefully we can find out where the missing motion went.
Jill. Sorry. Jill?
No, that's all right. Nope.
There is a page missing.
Yeah.
So we'll
sent it for the ballot correctly.
Yep, for the 6th. So I'll have it for next meeting.
All right, that's good. Thank you. So we can go on to elected official and town staff reports. I know that Kristen Hecht could not make it tonight, and I do not see anybody from the town in my understanding.
No, what? Chris Davey, if he, are you talking about for Board of Finance?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Board of Ed.
Oh, Board of Ed, I'm sorry.
Ed members are Chris with Davey us.
If he, oh, and Riz on too, two members, they had something.
No, we could ask.
Okay.
Hi, this is Rhea. I did take a look. I have to pull it up, but I believe that we're about 63%. Hold on, I'm just trying to find the document. I had looked at it. I'm sorry. Hold on. Just.
I'll bring them up. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Oh, can you make it a little bigger? I'm sorry. I don't see very well.
No, I just don't know what everybody can see. So give me 1 second. I can do that. Maybe. Oh, it's not giving me the option. Hold on 1 second. Right, maybe I lied. Oh, wait a minute. I can do it here, right? Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry.
I don't think I feel comfortable going into all of the, you know, the transfers because you can see, but We've as of March 31st, we expended 65% of the appropriated budget. And that's like $9,841,403. And in 2022, we had expended 63% at this time. So that was an expenditure increase of $37,930 from the prior month's estimate. I know that there were some legal fees. I do remember we discussed that for support services, that is special ed. There was a decrease in the salaries, wages, and employee benefits line. And basically that's, I believe, for new hire, because of new hires at lower rates. And also there may be a position that still hasn't been filled. The curtains, you know, that they had to replace the BCS fire curtains. And they had to do it right away per the fire inspection. And so there were transfers, and those are on the other pages if you want to see specifically. But I don't feel like, you know, I could go through all of those. But if you want to, basically, they need some money out of one area for another area, and they take it. So, and they kind of go. So, for example, to purchase additional library books in the first block for the middle school and replace updated improvement to the collection. So they took it. They take money out of one account, online subscription services, and they put it into another account. And that's basically how this goes, if you want to look through each box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just see the really big one I see in there again. It's for the fire curtains, which we'd already discussed.
Right. Okay. So, and I believe if you go to the very end, to the last page,
this is the last.
No, to the very last page of this doc, the whole document. Keep going to the end.
Well, this is the end of that. So,
right.
The end.
Then we go to for the summary where it shows.
That's up further than. I don't know that there is a summary. Let me look.
Yeah, because we then go to the tax collector stuff.
I'm just looking. Okay. There isn't a summary for 23. There's a summary.
Oh. Hold on.
That's 23 is all the, just flip
it around. It's the page that has, it's the budget status. I don't know what, it's not numbered, but there is a page that, no, I don't see it. Oh, no, I can't find it. But it did talk about what would be provided for funds for next year, and it's zero. But I can't find it either. But I thought I saw it. Oh, there it is. I don't know what page it's on, but it starts with. Budget status, and it says transfers request. Oh, I'm sorry. Transfers request. The last part just says, I'm sorry, positive amounts.
We don't have anything grossly out of whack or any curveballs, correct?
No, other than the special ed budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we knew.
Yeah.
That was not a surprise. And the curtain, you know, fire curtains weren't a surprise either.
Okay. So that's it.
Yeah. Because we usually want to see if there's anything that changed so we don't need to go through line by line. And it sounds like nothing substantive have changed. It's all the stuff that Kristen Heck had already told us about.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So then we could go to tax collection summary, Jill.
So our current tax collection is at 101.38% of 98%. Motor vehicle is at, and we've actually gone beyond this. We've gotten numbers that are higher than this when we were creating our numbers for the budget to go to public hearing. So these are just the end of March. So we actually have looked at numbers higher than these numbers. You can see what it was at the end of March. And if you have any questions, but again, we've already seen higher numbers.
What does that mean?
Pardon?
What does that mean?
We've already looked at numbers as of like April 5th or 6th, we looked at numbers that were beyond these numbers. These are the end of March numbers. I've given you numbers in April collections.
Additional revenues have come in that you're reflecting in what?
These are the end of March. We have talked about April revenues that have come in. We've gone beyond, above and beyond these. This is just the end of March.
So we're partway through April, so there's more that have come in since the 31st of March, but those are not reflected in here.
In this report, but we have talked about that.
Yep. So Jill, anything on here that jumps out other than the fact that you've got some additional revenue?
Nope, not at all.
Any questions, Mather, anything?
No.
Charlie? Then we can continue on to a town update. I don't know if there's anybody who can speak to any other info about the town.
Well, do you want to look at the other revenues? Or, I mean, again, this is the same situation. We've already discussed revenues beyond, above, beyond this. So we want to go to expenditures?
Oh, yeah. If you do, if there's anything that jumps out or if we're tracking as expected.
Just the same that we've looked at every month. There's some areas that are very well going to be problem areas. But it really hasn't changed from last month.
Questions from anyone?
Well, at this point, since elections is one of the line items we've been looking at, there's going to be a maximum.
I didn't hear what Amanda said.
Sorry. Do we know the maximum number of referendums that we can have before June 30th? Is it two or
two?
So, understanding that we would only potentially have two referendums, is that still something we're worried about, or do we think we'll be all right?
No, I think that there could possibly be some problems still with that. It has not necessarily just to do with the referendums, because there's a timesheets, unfortunately, don't get handed in that department in a timely fashion. And there's a lot of expenditures that aren't showing up here yet. They went for training, and the training, the hotel and the training is not included in here. And
yeah, there won't be many other, there's really not too many timesheets. It's just Sandy and me and Bernice at this point. There will be more in another couple of weeks when we start getting the poll workers in for training.
Right. So I still believe that that could be a problem area, yes.
Yep.
No other questions? Okay, we'll go to transfers. These are the transfers that happened in the month of March. Anybody have any questions about those?
I have one question.
Mather's got one.
Rubber tracks for the skid steer, are those replacement tracks? Is it a track skid steer, or it's a wheeled skid steer with tracks on it?
I couldn't answer that. It's a brand new skid steer. Well, it's not new. We're purchasing a skid steer with the money from capital, as you know. And it's coming off a lease. It came off a lease, and don't quote me, but I believe that this was at one of the casinos had leased this skid steer, and I'm not positive, but I think that it didn't have tracks. And then they bought tracks because I believe that's what they prefer to have. So the Board of Selectmen told, instead of adding more money into the capital budget for 24, they said that they would allow Lance to move money around so that he could buy the additional equipment he needed for the skid steer in his budget. So I believe it didn't have tracks before because it's fairly new. It was lightly used is my understanding. It was a really good deal.
It's new to us, but not brand new.
Correct.
I knew that. I just didn't know. But this makes sense to me now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't quote me. I'm not absolutely positive, but I don't think it had tracks.
Any other questions? Anything else to discuss under elected official and town staff reports under other? Then let's move on to ongoing business discussion of 2023 budgets and discussion of 2024. We're kind of locked into what we're going to public hearing with. So I don't know if there's anything that you know we need to talk about under these two topics. I'll leave that open if anybody has any questions, but there's nothing in them that's going to affect us as of before the public hearing.
I was just wondering, I mean, it's not really a big question, but
what
did we budget for FY24 for elections? If you could remind me.
Give me 1 second, I'll pull out my budget. No worries.
It's not coming to my mind.
Give me 1 second, I have it right here.
Thank you.
We budgeted for them $67,830.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then we'll see what they come up with at the legislature for early voting.
And then I do have a question as it relates to revenues for 2024. And I had put it in my presentation somewhere, but I read in another town's presentation somewhere in my research that they were not expecting the state to make up any of the motor vehicle gap tax, that it wasn't happening in FY24. And I just wanted, do we have any money for that currently budgeted for in revenue?
What the gap that will there will be from what we would have gotten and what we are getting is made up in the current property tax. People are going to, that's what makes the mill rate higher than it needs to be.
For any gap dollars from the state for FY24.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Sorry, we didn't budget for any gap dollars from the state in FY24.
Well, yes, we have to go higher in the current property tax in order to make up that difference.
So there is a...
It's included in the budget as an increase in taxes, local taxes.
Right.
But it's not showing up as a...
No, I get that, but we didn't budget for any money from the state.
So it's the state...
A grant from the state.
Well, there is money from the state. The money that the state... gave us a dollar amount, and that's in the budget.
Okay, so they gave it to us for FY24.
They gave us a dollar figure, yes.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to confirm, because when I saw that in somebody else's budget, I got nervous, because I thought we had budgeted for something from the state. So yeah. As long as we got the number from the
yep.
state, and it's certain.
Correct, we did.
Okay, thank
yep.
you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Any other discussions on FY2023 and 2024? And then hearing none, let's go on to our public communication and outreach. So I guess we can turn it over to Amanda.
So sorry, this is delayed. I tried to get it out Wednesday night, but Chris, thank you to Chris Davey. He's been helping me try and figure out some of the inflation stuff. So no changes on the first slide. Second slide. I just grabbed this at the beginning of this meeting, so you won't have it on your own. You can copy it or print it, but I just added the Board of Ed what they reduced their request by, and I grabbed that from Kristen's presentation. The original request to the was 11.07, and they reduced it by 634 to bring it down to the
Do you have the dollar amount?
Yes, it's 34,236. Sorry. Oh, you can't see that.
We don't have it in the copy that I printed.
I did that right at the beginning of the meeting. That's the number I thought of while I was in the shower.
So what is it?
634,323.
Thank you.
So for this slide, no changes except that I think I may have rounded up.
And we just need to go with Board of Selectmen.
And then I changed that. I put Board of Selectmen, and then I changed under revenues. I changed the label to carryover funds, and then I put the bullet down at the bottom that just says carryover funds inclusive of fund. Oh, I are inclusive of funds carried over from FY22 and unused contingency funds and monies realized as a result of revised revenue projections for the current FY23 year. Is that an accurate statement, Jill?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I like that. There's a lot on there, but it visually is easy to follow. I like that slide.
No.
So here's the slide that I didn't touch this slide. This was the original slide on inflation. And then in speaking with, well, in communicating back and forth with Chris, like he had said that he didn't think we should use the regional inflation numbers. He'd looked into them and wasn't comfortable using them. So he did send me some more information, and that's how I came up with this second slide instead for consideration. I don't know if we want to use it at all, but essentially cumulative inflation since the FY2013 budget is 31.8%. Our current budget gets us to 29.5% and therefore is still 2.3% under inflation. And then comparing the proposed increase in the budget of 5.89, it's technically over like the current inflation as of today, but when I do the average monthly inflation that we've experienced throughout the course of this year, which is 7.08, it's still under the average inflation we've experienced. And then the point of like, not only are our expenditures under, but where we're getting our revenue from has not kept pace with inflation. So the grand list our grand list is actually lower now than it was in 2013. And I did look at the numbers. It is accurate. There was a massive drop, and we've just been clawing our way back ever since. Which hopefully this will change with the revaluation, right? But even though we see values starting after the last 2-3 years, like our grand list hasn't experienced that because we haven't had the revaluation. So I summarized it by saying, so while town expenses have increased, while at a rate less than cumulative inflation, the value of property to be taxed has decreased. Therefore, combined with decreases in other revenue resources like the state and Columbia students, this results in the need for an increased mill rate. Don't know if we want to use this slide.
Both of them, you have to impact of inflation. Well,
the first one is like, it's not, I don't think it's accurate. I just left it for comparison. And I don't know, Chris, your Crystal.
Mr. Gabe, he's still on.
If you wanted to jump in and say anything, I'd be happy to.
I would be fine with taking out that first new slide.
The one without yellow highlights.
Okay. The one with all the yellow on it.
The one that I was thinking we'd get rid of because that was the old one. Okay.
Too many numbers. It's a little confusing.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of numbers on here, but
it's simpler.
I don't know if it helps tell the story or.
Amanda, can you make it just a smidge bigger? Thanks.
only thing I think I would do with this one is just that sentence, that stuff, the bold sentence at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would put that up at the top. So the town expenses have increased. So, you know.
You just get rid of the so.
Yes.
Get rid of the.
Yeah.
Go get rid of this. Yeah. Get rid of the so. And I would move that to the top. So, because then you set the stage and then say, so let's dig into this a little bit deeper.
I like how it goes back 10 years.
Yeah.
With the inflation comparison.
Guys, ready to move on to the next one?
So here, the next slide of the three ones, I found an error in my calculations. They're slightly different than they did before, but essentially same concepts where we weren't sure if we wanted to keep them or not. So they're still in here for giggles for now. So then you guys had suggested layering inflation on top of mill rate and or the budget. So that's actually slide 9 instead of slide 8. And this, my summary was, I don't think these make sense because we're comparing inflation, which is a percent change, to a static. I don't have that. That's
It's on Ross's.
I don't know where that came from. They don't really. I'm looking at them and I'm like, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So I tried.
No, thank you for doing it, but
I don't think
it's. Let's just get rid of them.
So then the other thing is, instead of slides 5, 6, and 7, which show all three percent change, budget percent change, and average inflation. Instead, I did two parts for consideration, which just got budget and inflation and a percent increase in mill rate and inflation, meaning that they might be simpler than having three things on one chart. But not sure. I could also do one of these as a bar and one of them as a line or something. But the other thing that I did is it went back 10 years instead of the 5, because the charts on the three prior slides were only 5 years. So you can see that this does look a little different. Like when you do just 5 years, the percent change in mill rate is under inflation. But prior to that, we were over inflation. And similarly with the budget, it is a little bit up and down as it relates to inflation.
But that top one really shows at the end there how we're trying to catch up to it.
Uh-huh.
That's it right there.
And so then what do we think about the mill rate at the bottom? Because that could be looked at as like, oh, so we're over inflation. Yeah.
But again, and I don't think that behooves us to keep the mill rate, because the mill rate, like, you know, we've been discussing, is impacted by so many different things, right? Yeah. It's impacted not only by expenditures, but revenue.
Because the real issue is inflation has eaten into our costs, right? And we've also lost some revenue. Mm-hmm. And so between the two of those things, we have to increase the budget, but we're doing so less than inflation. And then you talk to mill rate afterwards, and now you guys want to know why mill rate is going up. And again, it's because our sources of revenue have declined. And in order to meet the, fill in that gap, it comes out of property and auto taxes, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's where the increase in the mill rate comes from.
And mill rate, like we were saying the other night, is a multiplier. It's not really a thing, right? Like it's not a value. The value of it changes every year. So whereas the value of a dollar in the budget.
And I'm just wondering, these people who will scream at seeing this thing going up to 44, mill rate of 44, when we do the reeval and it drops down and they're still paying more, and
they'll be fine with it.
They'll be happy because the mill rate went down.
Yeah.
Even though their taxes are going to go up.
Even though their taxes are going to go up.
So again, though, looking at this through two different lenses, I have zero problem that this will get presented beautifully stated. But we also, if this is going to be posted online, what is somebody going to do if they're just looking through it without hearing the explanation? How are they going to perceive that? That's my concern.
My suggestion would be to get rid of this slide, this slide, this slide, and replace it with this part, not that part.
Yeah, that's what I would agree.
I think that's the important one, because then you just have the separate narrative. So why is the mill rate going up? And then it's just the simple explanation mm-hmm. is we've got a hole in the budget to provide the, you know, that comes from people want a certain amount of services. And in order to provide those services to people, the money, you know, we have to, you know, spend this much, and there's a gap in what we're getting in revenue other than property taxes. I mean, I don't know what else to do with it.
No, I think this hits that. I think that.
I like this one better. So we'll get rid of these three options, 1, 2, and 3. Because I think less is more too. And then on this one, oh, you already did that. So the mill rate is gone. And it's also is larger, so it's easier for people to see. I think it's, you know, it's the trending.
So we already decided to move to that one.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so this is the question I already asked Jill that I didn't want to forget. And this was, I added something here just because it was something you were talking about the other night, and I didn't know if it was worthwhile adding it, but I can totally just get rid of it. So I just added, therefore, the amount of taxes you owe is based on the mill rate, but also on the value of your property, which is subject to change based on improvements made, additional purposes, and the 5-year revaluation, not revolution, among other
things. There might be a revolution at this one.
People.
I didn't know if that was helpful. I'm just trying to set context and get people to understand.
Yeah.
I like
this thing because it, you know, the trouble we had with the earlier one, I think Charlie had pointed it out too. It makes it look like it's a huge increase because you see that 10% and it's way up here. And then you look at this and it really.
The chart got changed.
Yeah. The last meeting. No, that's why I said I like this one better.
Yeah. And it also hits on the mill rate. So you're still speaking to it. It's still transparent.
Because that's what they're going to want to know.
Mm-hmm. Do we like this new bullet or should we get rid of that new bullet that I added?
Which one? The stake?
The thing in yellow that I added.
Why don't we get rid of that? Because she said that we are getting it. Jill said we're getting that.
Oh, no, not the one in red. The rest of it.
Oh, the one down below.
And therefore, the amount of taxes you owe is based on the mill rate, but also the value of your property. Because this is an instructional-ish slide.
I like having it in there.
What about others?
Let's leave it in there for now and we can think about it. And I'll play with this too, with Jill. Because I know you said you're not going to be able to do anything other than some quick changes tonight. So then if you could just send it back to Jill and me, then we can.
Yeah, I'm making the changes as I go. So on this slide, the only thing I did was make the pie charts round and make the labels as bigger as I could.
So question, what's the difference between these and the ones up front?
So these are a breakdown of the BOE and cost by expenses. The ones up front is overall expenses and overall revenue.
So this is more like, here's what each of the areas is correct. Doing specifically.
Not including capital debt.
Yeah.
We're good with
D? Yep.
Okay. And this slide, I will say that I did adjust all of the Board of Ed pie charts to reflect it was at $90,910. So that's the only change I made to this one. And then no change to the board of selection one. And then I just added the impact of the proposed motor vehicle tax rate, which is 0% increase. And then I put this one below it. It's not so yay, but still important. And you guys said to draw attention to those two rows in each.
Yep.
Okay. Then there's this slide. The only thing I changed is literally during this meeting. I didn't know if we wanted to add this part at the bottom. So it cost the town an estimated $4,200 per referendum, and I added plus lost revenue from interest and fees charged by the bank as a result of lower funds in our account. I don't know if that's, if we want to keep it.
Interest, what do you think that in the present situation what that interest would be on $4,200?
No, not on the $4,200, because we delay every referendum costs us because we're not getting the tax revenue to bump us up over the $7 million.
Yeah.
That part.
I think that's important to.
I mean, it's not spelled out. I don't want to spell it out like that in here. If someone asked, we could explain how that works, but I don't know if we should just get rid of it. It's not in your copy because I added it.
I feel like there's it, but I just don't know if people are going to be able to put context around it. But gosh, it's so important to make sure they understand. Because they ask about the how much does a referendum cost each time? You know, that's starting to get asked. But, you know, the fact that we actually lose money and that interest, like people aren't.
I think this kind of sums it up nicely. And then I would also, it also costs the town, because it's more than, this is us, the $4,200 is just the expense by the registrars. Oh, so we got the other. I can't.
It's too complicated to understand. I would maybe just change the estimated
number,
adjust the estimated up.
Which includes.
Say it costs the town an estimated $4,500 or $5,200. Whatever it is.
From like a newspaper article, but
well, this is it's the cost of the election workers at the polling places, is what this cost is.
Yes.
It doesn't include the fact, like we were talking about earlier, that because we don't have as much money in the account, we then wind up paying fees and losing interest, which also then adds up to something if you amortize it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Over.
We can put 45, but if someone were to ask us how we got that number, it would be 42 plus. Right?
I'm thinking that when we actually get the requested amount of fees and costs we're paying that we're not conscious of now because we're waiving our interest for that $7 million threshold. I think when we find out what that cost is, that's when you can have it available to say, hey, guess what? Instead of getting interest on $7 million, we've cut that back.
Let's leave it at the
and at 0.5%, you know, how much is that over 1 month period?
So why don't you just
months or last 3 months, whatever, and
then decline it's balance. Gonna be a hell of a lot.
So I'll leave it
at 4,200 and then we just talk to it to say that it's in polling place and poll worker expenses. And then if they want, we can also talk to there's an additional hit also in lost interest because we can't take revenue in into the new year's budget for several months. And because of our banking, we lose revenue, we lose interest and we get charged fees.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting that clarified, but it's actually more than this because it's something we can talk to.
So making money, we're paying money.
Yeah. So the last slide is just the definition. So we are now at 12 total slides.
So just one question, if you could go back to this one with how much I'm paying out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I just did the math on this and they don't add up because of rounding differences. Because it's actually like the first one. If you 1093 times 52, it's 568.36. So I don't know if this is because you rounded the ones up above. annual increase is rounded to the second, you know, to one. I don't know. It doesn't add up.
Oh, okay. Then it might be, yeah, I can fix that.
I would just make sure that if you do the math, even if it's a little bit off, that if you do it, somebody multiplies the top bottom one by 52, it comes out to the top one.
So you're saying the 568.40
is five. The 568.40 is actually 568.36 when I did it.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to
run. Yeah, I know.
Right.
Or just put the actual instead of rounding, just put the actual if you multiply it. However you do it, I just know people don't understand rounding, and I know that's what's going on, and it won't come out if they do the math, and then they'll start like, no, you made a mistake. It doesn't add up, you know.
We have made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Or you can just put rounded to the nearest dollar if you do it, because no one's going to care about the, you know, 80. I would write like 80 cents can round up to 137, you know, stuff like that, and just say that's rounded to the nearest dollar. And that way that's all I would do, because the numbers up above are rounded to the nearest dollar. So I would just round these to the nearest dollar and just state that all numbers down below with it, you know, all numbers rounded to the nearest dollar.
And I'll fix the chart.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I would do. And just specifically just state they're all rounded to the nearest dollar. And then that way, if anybody does the math, then you've already said we rounded. Thank you so much.
Oh, Amanda, this was huge. Excellent job.
Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah. You've already earned your pay. We'll give you a raise.
But next time we'll give you snacks.
That's right.
I know they were.
And she brings snacks.
I know.
All right, so I'll send out, I'll fix these charts. I mean, it's the only thing left to fix, and I'll send it out.
No, seriously, it's like I really appreciate this. And definitely, you've been an asset as a new member to the team. You know, Mather, you're quiet, but you come up with some good observations when you do speak. And I also want to thank Ashley, too, as well, you know, as a new member. Jumping right in. And the rest of you guys get thanks, too, but I just want to recognize the new folks. Jill?
Yes.
Are you going to be around tomorrow to chat?
I have Bolton Lakes audit I'm working on with the auditor, and I have to get the information to the town clerk. I won't have a lot of time. I also have to talk to the financial advisor tomorrow regarding the fire truck.
How about Monday or Tuesday, just so we can be squared away before I do the presentation at the...
I can't make any promises. I got a lot going on, and I have 2.5 days to get it done. So you can, I would call ahead.
All right.
So is this going to get posted with the materials you post, or is it only going to... Are they going to see it for the first time when they come here in person?
Tomorrow, my information has to be posted at town clerk tomorrow. So this won't be posted tomorrow. And you can keep working on this.
Yeah, because I want to just take a look at it after you send it the updates. I want to just go over it before we post it.
Okay. I'm not going to send this to the town clerk. I'm going to send the required by charter information to the town clerk tomorrow.
I think we should try to post it before the meeting.
Can we post this before the public hearing, Jill? This presentation?
I don't see why not.
All right. So I will go through it. And then if I have any questions, Jill, I'll just send you any specific questions about numbers and such if I have any.
Okay.
And then when hopefully we could post it, say, Monday or Tuesday at the very latest, so it's available for folks.
And then not to, I know you're super busy, Jill, and so maybe this is something Jim can assist with as well, but that gentleman did come to a meeting in the past and he did ask for the Board of Selectmen's full budget to be posted.
They're not coming.
Like the details. I mean, is there
my understanding they were working on that the other day because they called me when I was home. So I didn't look online, but it was my understanding it did get posted.
The budget is online.
It is the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, the Board of Selectmen's budget's there. I was looking during the week.
Oh, okay, good. It wasn't the last I checked, but
hey, Jill, before I forget, thank you, too, for coordinating, bringing the people from the bank, the representatives. That was very educational and appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I am confirming, Jill, it is on the website.
Okay, good. I didn't check, but I know I was asked of information regarding it. So I assume they did.
We reported that in the same place, too, but we can't do that right now.
You already saw that one.
All right, then let's go look at the budget calendar, and then we will see. So we have the public hearing on the 25th, and we will have a special meeting, I presume, right afterwards to discuss whatever input that we get and see, you know, see where we go from there.
And then you'll have one on the 4th before you have to have your budget by the 10th.
Yeah.
Where hopefully we can hear some money from the town and some of that.
Yeah, because I know that the town.
Chelsea Bank.
Yes.
Do we need to schedule out meetings for like if the referendum doesn't pass? Because I think we tabled that conversation about whether we wanted to meet right after.
We typically will meet the day after because I was hoping to not be the moderator for the referendum, but I found out I'm going to be because the other person can't do it. So I will be tied up until about 11 o'clock at night afterwards. So we will need to do it the day after. Yeah, so the same thing with each of the other ones the next day.
I mean, it's going to pass, so it's going to be a problem. I mean, we still need to meet anyway to set the official. Sure.
Yep.
Last Board of Finance meeting of this. I'm calling it now.
We'll hold you to that.
Okay. Power. Anything else on that? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Amanda moved that we adjourn. Second.
A second.
And a second by Kristen. I guess we can vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So it's unanimous. We're out of here. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Don't leave. A motion to adjourn.